Everybody, it's Friday.
Finally
Friday. Oh, just got off the phone with a accountant who didn't understand why we needed to have secure remote access. I'm like, you're an accountant.
Yeah. You should be asking me for this.
Yep.
Exactly.
So how you guys doing?
Good.
Yeah. How's the week been?
Pretty much the same. But today I got up and there was about 4 inches of snow on my car.
Wait a minute. Weren't you complaining about how hot it was last week?
Well, I was saying that it was like 77, yeah, which is unusual for here. But I did say snow was coming.
And it's here.
Yep.
4 inches.
Yep. But it didn't stick to like the roads or sidewalks, just grass, cars, stuff like that. It was cold.
All right. So is the 4 inches normal?
Yeah.
Yes?
Yes.
Okay. I got nothing to add to that.
Yeah. I'm just ready for it to warm up a little more. So we're like 65 right now.
65 there?
I think it's mid-30s here. I'll check. Yeah, 37.
Okay, we had a record day yesterday. It got up to 93 yesterday. Right now, it's only 83.
Wow.
Only.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the real feel is 90.
Ugh.
So, I had to run to the UPS store because we don't have a regular pickup. So I had to drop off an eBay box there, and then ran to Walgreens to get some magnesium citrate for the wife. And it was hot. I was winded and sweating when I got back to the office.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. All right. So I really don't have many things to talk about. I just figured, I think I put in the description, week in review, ask me anything.
Ask you anything. Oh, goodness.
Yeah, I figured I need to find a way to make these sessions like a way for people to respond, because I don't get a lot of people that email. You know, I get a few. I actually did get 2 emails, and sometimes I'll get comments in, you know, if I do something on the Facebook, they'll put comments in there. Like, Rachel, hello, gentlemen.
Well, looks like she's not taking a nap this time.
Yes.
Exactly. Going to get up for our staff meeting this morning. We've been having a weekly, like, Zoom-style meeting with all of our guys, trying to see all their lovely faces on the webcams and have that sense of togetherness. So.
Right. That you're still at work, do your job.
Yeah, exactly. This is the number of billable hours this week, and
right.
Graphs, and still got one guy that's kind of slacking a little bit, so kind of beat him up a little bit. Like, in the lowest billable hours for the past 3 weeks since we've been home. What are you doing?
So. Okay, did you guys see this?
Yeah,
outside on the porch. So the attorney that I was just setting up, so I had to call the law firm that I was connecting him to, and the lady, she answers, she's like, oh, I just got out of the pool. Like, you don't have to tell me that.
Right.
Just a second, please.
Yeah.
She was in the pool.
Have you guys had any more clients that are... have been affected any more or any worse off now than, say, 2 weeks ago that you're aware of?
Not more affected. I've had some people battling their invoices, you know, not want to pay because they just don't want to pay. I mean, right. not due to COVID, but we did something for you back in January and it's April now. And well, you had it listed on the invoice from January. I thought you already did this.
Right.
So we spent 5 minutes on that one thing in January. That does not justify the 4.5 hours we spent this time.
Right.
So we only billed you 2 hours in. And it's hard. I don't know if it's one of those things with you all or not, but I have this hard time with customers understanding, and this customer does not understand value of IT, and they're not a ongoing managed services client by no means. They're just break fix, but understanding the value in your services.
Yeah.
So it's like, they can't understand. It's like, well, I told you I did 5 minutes of work in January. I did 4.5 hours of work troubleshooting networking issues, installing a piece of software is what it was, but the software would not communicate with their server, which we don't maintain. So we had to troubleshoot the network, troubleshoot the router. There was some blocking stuff going on in there. The server was only running on IPv6, didn't have IPv4 enabled. The computer ended up having IPv4 enabled and not 6. So it's, you know, it's why it wouldn't work.
Yeah.
But it takes a minute to get there. And they had logged me in. They wanted to install them like 6 computers that we had to instant house call into and, you know, spend all that time doing that. But it's just like, you were on the phone with our guys the whole time. You know how long this took.
Right.
Well, you billed us for it back then. I said, but that was 2 hours and that was setting up a new computer. It's like
completely different issue.
Yeah. And then they had to get the boss on the phone and, you know, he fuss at me about it and stuff. It's like, dude, it's just like, whatever. So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so we have an hour minimum on site and every once in a while, you know, we'll be there for 10 minutes and they're like, well, you were only here for 10 minutes. Why are we paying? Well, we've gone over this, you know, it took me 30 minutes to get here. So our policy is from the time we leave our office or wherever we're at until the job is done is billed to that client that we're working on because at that time we're focused on them. So first off, it took me 30 minutes to get here where I couldn't work with anybody else. And then, yes, I did fix it in 10 minutes. But the value is you were only down for a few minutes. You know, we got you back up. I don't know. Some people don't quite get that value that, you know, you just got done telling me that you tried to fix this for 2 hours and got nowhere, right? So the value is we got you back up. You weren't paying people to sit here and do nothing. So we run into that a little bit. We actually had, I'll say customer. I wouldn't call them a client. Actually, neither anymore. Anyway, so we went in and worked with them one time. It's a shared office, and we work with, there's two different companies. We work with one company all the time. Good customer, managed client. The other company in there, we're having some printer issues and stuff. So the company that we work with called us and said, hey, or told them that we could come in and fix it since we fix their stuff all the time. So anyway, they called us. We come in, took care of it. We were there for like 20 minutes, no big deal. Got their printer fixed and a couple other little things. And then they haven't paid their bill for like 3 months, you know, 1 hour. And we're like, you know, what's going on? So finally, so the way we do it is we have repair shoppers send out automatic, basically reminders after 30 and I think 60 mm-hmm. days. And then point, if you don't pay it and, you know, we can see in there if you viewed it or not, but mm-hmm. regardless, we'll send a mail or a paper copy. And then after that point, they had emailed us and said, well, we didn't approve this work, so we're not going to pay it. So I'm like, okay, well, you just got banned from future work. You know, it's not worth chasing $125 for this, you know?
So who in the world do you need to get that?
Nope.
that's my desktop app is ringing. I was trying to get it cut off. Sorry.
Oh. So somebody had to approve the work.
So I don't know what it, you know, so I'm the one that went on site and did the work. They were all there when I did it. Like, how do you not expect to not be billed when I came in and fixed your issue? Like, mm-hmm. you knew they called me in to do this. I didn't just show up because I got a spider sense that, oh, these people need help, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, the spidey sense would cost them more.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. So, yeah. I mean, they were there the whole time. And then, oh, well, we didn't think we'd have to pay for this. How do you – where do you come up with this conclusion? So, but like I said, you know, it was the one time we worked with them for $125. It's you're blacklisted. It's not even worth chasing.
So yeah. You don't send out like a job quote ahead of time where they have to sign it to get it back?
No.
Okay. Because I do that for new customers and then for my slow pay customers. That way there's a signature that says, this is what you asked me to do. This is what we're going to do. This is how long it's going to take. And here's a caveat that if it takes longer than that, you're still going to get billed more. And that's the reason I haven't heard from that one customer that needed their security assessment done by April 1st.
Right. So I guess kind of my fault. In this situation, we're talking a 15 by 25 foot size office with two companies in it, right? There's four people total, wide open. So they're very aware of how we work, you know? I mean, it's not like they didn't know ahead of time. So, yeah. But yeah, I mean, I suppose we could have said, hey, you're going to be billed an hour for this, but it was assumed, and we all know what that means, you know? I mean, it's an open office, though. I mean, you've seen this in here 100 times. Right. I've talked to you many times. You know, so anyway.
Well, it's like with our guy, you know, it's like I told him, you know, I was arguing with him on the phone yesterday, and I was like, at this point, I really care less if they're still a client, because I don't, they argued with me last month on the bill, and I straight up told the guy, I said, hey, look, man, I said, last month I spent an hour and a half researching everything, figuring out what's going on with the bill. You didn't want to pay me then. You did pay me, but now here we are again the next month fighting the bill again. I said, I'm not sure that, you know, we need to continue this. I said, it's not worth my time. Oh, it's not worth my time either. It's like, hey, why are you calling me? I said, you know, it's like, and I just told him straight up. And I said, look, I said, what we sell is time. Mm-hmm. That's what we sell. And our experience in fixing your issues. Mm-hmm. I said, we billed you for the amount of time it took our technicians to do it. We had two guys work on it. Why didn't the first guy just fix it? Well, the first guy ran into networking issues, all this other stuff. He's not a high-end networking tech. He was help desk. He did all the troubleshooting, got to where he knew that he could actually okay, well, I know this is a problem. I'm not sure how to fix it. Handed it off to another guy. And the other guy jumped in, took his information, moved from there. You know, the network guy was able to dig deeper, figure out the issue, and solved it. I said, it would have taken that network guy the same amount of time to research and do everything he did as it did for him. So you're not paying any more because he didn't finish the job. You know, he did the way he's supposed to. Hey, I'm to a point to where it's beyond my skill set. Let's hand it off to somebody else and get it solved. So the Steelers, you know, under 2 hours of work and stuff. So
it's amazing that we fight that so much. I probably shouldn't say all this, but I'm going to. So, you know, I had to take the wife to the emergency room last month. And so now we're getting all the bills. Mm-hmm. And of course they don't come in as one bill. Mm-mm. I've gotten like 10 separate bills, you know, $1,000 for this and $200 for that and $50 for that. And I got $6,000 is one we just got for the emergency room and the stays or something like that. But they don't even itemize half this stuff. And I know that every time a different doctor came in the room, I knew that was another charge. Mm-hmm. But people won't argue about that. They won't argue, you know, if they're going to court and there's three attorneys on their team, you know, they don't argue that, exactly. But you know, if you're a tech and you're on site and you got to call somebody else, they're going to, you know, bitch.
Yeah. You know, that,
why can't your first guy do it? He's first. The second guy comes in for the second stuff.
Exactly. And there's different level techs. And I tried to explain that, you know, it's like you called in, the help desk answers the phone, helps you out. If they get so far into it and determine it's something that they is, you know, beyond their skill set or whatever, or it's network related, server related, that hands off to the server guy or the network guy. I mean, it doesn't stop at the help desk. And it's just like doctors, you know, just because a doctor comes in, does general, you know, look over you and general vitals doesn't mean that he's going to solve your heart issue. You know, I mean, you're going to call in a specialist. You know, that's what we're doing. We're calling in the network specialist.
How about the customers that are like, well, why don't you send the specialist out the first time?
Exactly. Well, you want to pay double the money.
That's right.
So we charge more for networking and server issues, you know.
And, you know, we get the feeling that they expect us to know everything. Every one of IT person should know everything about everything. But yet, in all of my clients, I've heard all of them asking their coworkers, hey, what do you think about this? Or what, you know, so it's like, why are we any different? You know, we're just regular people too.
Well, see, part of the problem with this situation was, and it took 4.5 hours to solve it, was there was this real estate software called Windmore, and none of our guys have ever touched it. The only client I have that has it, we don't manage their server, so we have no remote access to it. I mean, so, you know, don't have access to their computers. We have to get them to help connect us. So, I mean, probably 1.5 hours of that was getting connected to all these various machines, you know? I mean, it takes 15 minutes a machine to go to our website, download this, click that, this technician, you know? So, I mean, it's, you know, and they're like, oh, it doesn't take 15 minutes a machine. And then, you know, then she complained about Office. Part of what we did was install Office on the computer. Well, we don't have their license codes. We don't have their, you know, Office 365 sign-ins. And she's like, well, I had to leave a meeting and I come over and just signed into it and it took 5 minutes. Well, yeah, but it took us 45 minutes to figure out who to talk to in your company to get the information, to get the login for it. That took you 5 minutes to log in. So you're tying up my technician during this time because you weren't prepared for the service call when you knew we needed Office.
Yeah.
Well, it only takes 5 minutes. I could install that. Well, you didn't.
That's right. You know?
So you asked us to do it.
Right.
So we're doing as you ask. So it is just, I was about to like reach to the phone and strangle somebody. You know?
So
I'm sure everybody deals with that, but
we do. I was talking to some consultants earlier about one of my lovely clients, and the consultant right in the middle of the phone call goes, "Why don't you fire them?" Dude, I don't know. But they're another big law firm, and I can't. She'd kill me if I fired another big law firm.
Well, my wife is all about, she's really good at firing customers. They're never even fired. She's great at. But anyways, she had them on speakerphone in my home office here. And of course she could hear it on the other side of the wall. And she's like, that dude is just a total butt. You know, it's like, we just need to be done with them. We're done. So I was like, I agree. We're done.
So. It's a nice point when your business gets to the point where you go, you know what, I don't have to take on everybody, or I don't need these. Mm-hmm. You know, it's, I remember getting to that point, you know, because when you're starting out, you take on anybody and everybody that's willing to pay for anything, basically, you know, you got to get to a point, but it's a nice growth point where you can go, you know what, they're not worth my time. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That is true. It is nice to be able to turn somebody away. That law firm that needed that security assessment, you know, that would have been a nice, it would have been 10 grand, like more like 9.5 or whatever to get them up to spec. And then it was like 570 a month. And they were like, do we have to sign this agreement? I said, yep.
Yeah.
Well, we just need you to, I said, sign the agreement. That's before I do anything. Mm-hmm. And haven't heard from them, and not worried about hearing from them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you're having problems before you even get started, it's probably not going to get much better.
Yeah.
100% agree. Yeah. There's been a few clients that I've went to for, you know, managed IT services meeting and talked to them about it and everything. It's like you leave, if you have that feeling like they're cheap, I just don't even worry about following up or getting back with them. It's like, yeah, they'll follow up with me if they really want it. So,
right.
Usually they don't. So.
Yeah.
But,
Hey, do you guys know when you get shopped around? Like if one of your current customers is, you know, looking at other companies, do you guys know when that happens? Do they let you know?
If they're a current customer, we haven't been notified or told or lost anybody like that. If it's somebody new, they've told us, hey, you know, we're looking at a few different options. So we're talking to you and we're going to talk to these other places as well.
All right. So I've had this client 11 years. For the last 5, they've shopped me every single year. And so the last time they shopped me. So first of all, I've tried to tell them, do you realize how much of a discount you're getting? Uh-huh. So this is a company, they've got multiple offices, a lot of people, and they have a junior. Or let me rephrase that. They had a junior. He quit last month. So they don't have one now.
Oh, yeah.
So while they've had a junior, I'm only charging them $40 a station a month. So every time they shop me, they get quotes back of, you know, $65, $75, and then the real managed service companies are like $125 or more. So I always tell them, you know, you realize you're getting a bargain with me, and I'm doing the same thing as all these other customers. You're just, if you're shopping for price, you're not going to get anybody cheaper than me.
Right.
One, because I'm not charging you what I should be charging you. But the reason I'm doing that is because you have an in-house IT. The problem is they don't let the in-house IT do what an in-house IT person should do.
Exactly.
Their operations and HR guy tries to do all the IT work.
No wonder they quit.
Which is why they've gone through three juniors in the last 2 years.
Wow. So we had a customer that was a family friend. So we gave him a big discount when we got started, half price, actually. We were still pretty new in business. And so we started working with them, and it was always a fight. We got to be your highest paying customer, blah, 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 the whole ordeal, right? But we kept putting up with it, kept doing it. And finally, we got to the point where, you know, they would always pay late or they would always have an excuse, but they always wanted us to come in and work after hours or whatever because they couldn't be interrupted during their day. And you know, there was no work-life balance or anything on our side. They didn't want us to have that, but it was critical for them. And it finally got to the point where, look, it's just not worth it. So we fired them. And we recommended somebody that was more hobby level, didn't care to have a business, but could do computer repair stuff, which fit what they wanted to pay anyway. And they used that guy for about a year until their internet went down. This is a retail company. Their internet went down. Their router died. Guy didn't have any idea what to do, so he just left. Just went home. And so they called us in a panic. And I said, well, yeah, I have one of those routers on my shelf right now, but I'm not showing up unless you have a check ready. You know, it's one of those ordeals where it's always a fight. And so sure enough, they said, okay, we'll have one. So I was there, you know, got their new router set up and everything was good. And so they said, okay, well, how do we get signed back up with you? And I'm like, well, you know, we talked about the whole situation, how it was before, how they were getting a huge discount. And so now they're paying almost triple what they were before and always pay on time. You know, it's like, it takes that, you don't realize what you're getting until your business can't function anymore because of your ways. So that's one story where it actually worked out eventually.
Yeah. Some people are crazy. It's like, I don't understand why people can't see the value in what we do for them. You know,
right.
I saw a post on Facebook. It's like, look, guys, for the first time ever with the COVID stuff, we're essential.
Right.
So it's like, that's amazing. You know, it's like, we're so undervalued. You know, it's like we keep everything working. It's just like the guy in the back room, you know, yeah, behind the keyboard, who knows, yeah, about him. He don't do nothing, right?
Well, and some of that's what it is. Like, our customers don't see a lot of the back end stuff that we do that keeps them running and keeps them protected and keeps them safe, you know.
Exactly.
But then if you go, well, here's reports showing what we did. Well, we don't need that. We don't care. You know, until it's time to pay the bill.
Yeah, I can't read this report. What is it? This means nothing to me.
Yep. Yep.
So. Yeah. Trying to decide.
Do you all send that?
Tell another story.
Since you're talking about reports, do you all send out any kind of reports to your businesses on a monthly basis or anything like that?
Not anymore.
No. We asked, you know, if they wanted us to, and most of them said, I don't know what it means anyway. We assume if everything's working, then we're good.
We're good.
So yeah. Usually it's not a big deal for us. Nobody really cares.
Yeah.
You know, I keep them.
Mm-hmm.
And that way, if they ever ask, I'll be like, I got them here if you want to go back and review them. But they're in the same pile as, here's all the projects that I recommended that you do that you didn't do. Yeah, I don't send the reports anymore. My invoice is just the summary of the billing up top, and then I will basically put out, here's what we did for that month. Mm-hmm. And that seems to be what really works best for them. Mm-hmm. Even though they still don't remember, what did you do for us 3 months ago? Why was our bill so high?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You bought three workstations?
Exactly. Had that same thing. We did a price increase in January, and had a guy's like, we can't keep doing these price increases. I went from $700 a month to, $900 a month. And then now this is another, increase. And that's like, your bill went up $30. Like, the rest of that stuff is your Office 365 apps, your spam filtering. It's like, yes, it went up $700 or several hundred dollars in July of last year because we did Office 365 and spam filtering for you. Now that's on your bill.
Right.
We only increased our managed services prices, not the Office 365 price. It's $30, man. Like, oh, okay.
Maybe it's not so bad.
Yeah.
So the customer that I'm looking at, are you guys having customers ask you to do the employee monitoring now that everybody's remote? They want to, track everybody. All right. So I've been looking at a couple of things, and there's one company, you know what I'm going to say, it, I don't care. Time Doctor. So the American Legal Association apparently recommended this software. And so my client said, oh, we want to install this on our computers. So I went and looked at it. First of all, they didn't have a partner program. They just created one because of this. They have an affiliate link, and it's a nice looking software. I mean, it's there's a dashboard that people can go in. It'll track everything, websites, applications. It'll allow you to rate like which sites are productive and which ones are not, so all of that stuff. But I went to install it, and if I can notice a slowdown on my computer, I have to assume that the end users would notice it on theirs, since mine is usually a higher performance machine than theirs. So the one firm, we took it off. The other firm, they've got about 150 users. So this is the firm that they wanted. God, I'm mixing all these stories up. So they were the ones that they're paying a monthly fee, but they wanted after-hour support, but they didn't want to pay me more. I said, not going to happen. You're going to pay me, or you're going to pay somebody. So then they went to go find another company that would do only after-hour support, but still have me do the day support, but they didn't like that pricing. So now they want to look at this remote monitoring. When I gave them the pricing of what it would cost for me to provide them after hour support and have, a tech be on call and stuff, I told them it was going to be about $10 per person per month. That's too much money. So when we talked about this remote monitoring software, the Time Doctor software, it's $10 per user per month. Okay, sign us up. It's what we talked about earlier, the value. It's like, where when you see the money being spent, apparently you don't mind spending $10 more per person per month. You just don't mind. You just don't want to pay me $10 more per person per month.
Well, it's same as like, pop-up scams that used to be more popular, Oh, click this, and then they pay them $200-$300, whatever, right? But they didn't want to pay $10 a month for antivirus or whatever it was. It's like, I don't understand the logic.
We had a client the other day. One of our clients was like, I want you to log into these two computers and see, what they've been doing on their computers, pull a browser history report and stuff. And of course, Nearsoft has a great tool to do that with, just like a one-off. So we've been trying for a week now to get logged in these computers because we don't want to do it during the day when they're working, of course.
Right.
We do it at nighttime. So every night they keep turning off. So we call the office, like, make sure those two computers are on. Okay. Every day, make sure these computers are on. Okay. Finally, we got a hold of somebody yesterday. It's like, ask their manager to go back there and make sure the computer's on before they leave. The manager's like, oh, they're working from home. They got their computers at home. I was like, it's like, well, how are we going to do this then? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, hey, you want me to log into their computer sitting in their lap at home at nighttime? Right. They're probably playing on the internet anyways.
Yeah. Then
the report's probably not going to be, that great because they are working from home, it's like, I told my guys, like, just send them an email and say we can't do this, but they're working from home, it's like,
right,
crazy. It's like, I don't even know why people even worry about it, to be honest. It's like, if I'm almost to the point, like, if it's a performance issue, talk to them about it,
right? Yeah, I mean, you got to expect there's going to be, you know, I mean, even if you're sitting in the office, you're still going to be browsing around a little bit. You know, you got to have a little bit of freedom there, you know.
Exactly.
I'm sorry. I'm just, the people I've talked to this week about the stupidity of remote work. So this one partner, different from the other company, who also wants to monitor his employees because they're all working remotely, says to me, well, I think we're doing pretty good, but I just don't think we're productive enough because my employees are about 80% effective now that they're remote. And I'm like, you should take that.
Yeah,
exactly.
I'm like, so how do you think you want to get another 5 to 10% out of them? Because you're not going to get 100%.
Right.
And he's like, I don't know. I'll have to think about it. I'm like, go right ahead. Don't call me when you're done.
Exactly. That's how you drive people away.
Because I almost asked him, I said, well, how do you know it's 80%?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, wow. What a joy. What a joy. All right.
Well, here in another month or two, we'll go back to being non-essential, non-important.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they won't want to pay us for any of the time that, you know, we were involved in the, you know, coronavirus.
Right. Well, it wasn't a big deal. It didn't really affect us that much. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Oh, so you asked about customers being affected. So I had one attorney who he called me. He called me and left a message. I called him back. He was at the bank trying to get their PPP and other money or something like that. There's 12 people in their office, and he was the guy that asked me, that came here in the parking lot to get his two monitors to take home.
Yeah.
and asked me if we were going to apply, and I said no, and the one that told me that, yeah, I have enough to make payroll next week.
Wow.
Mm.
So he was at the bank yesterday. Huh. We sent them an invoice on Tuesday. Hope he pays.
Well, hopefully he pays now that he got money, right?
Hopefully that loan goes through.
I don't know if he got the money. I didn't call back to find out.
I had a customer email me yesterday saying that, and of course they've owed me money since the beginning of February, but we did the project for him, like $4,000, and he paid for last month's IT services like 2 days ago. We charged on the first of the month for that month. But anyways,
right.
He still hasn't paid for April's yet. That was supposed to be due by the first, but we're trying to be a little lenient. But he emailed me yesterday. He's like, hopefully the PPP money will be in my account on Friday and I'll get you paid. And I was like, well, I hope so, because that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing. I mean, if they keep our businesses running, then maybe we'll keep our clients. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who's in the chat? Maybe nobody's, anybody in the chat, if you guys would respond, have you guys had any customers that have basically claimed that they couldn't pay because of COVID-19 or done anything? Just send us a little note in there real quick. Because I've got my medical office that's still working, although they took off yesterday and the day before for the Jewish holiday. All my law firms are working because, of course, attorneys are essential. I've got an architect firm that's working. Who else do I have? I forget.
So we still only have the one client that's basically not working in their bed and breakfast.
Mm-hmm. All right, Kyle. Only one client that is a daycare. All right, thanks, Chris. Kyle, so far, all are paying. Beautiful. But much less.
Yeah. I was listening to another podcast the other day, and they were talking about you should not give your clients discounts during this time, that you should tell them to lay off their employees or something, that you need to keep your IT services. And I was like,
what? That was the advice they were given?
Yeah. And, because they justified it, and I get the justification. You can justify anything. But anyways, I think there's, giving a discount is not what I want to do. But if you show a little leniency during this time, like one of our dental clients, they asked for a, you know, they had to close their office. They're not seeing patients. So they asked for, can we defer the money, you know, till next month or the month after, you know, for the next 2 months. So they'll pay half now, and then we send them invoice for the other half 2 months from now. So they're going to catch it back up, you know, and I'm good with that. Then we had one other client that's, you know, a tourist attraction. We have trampoline park and mini golf and, you know, a show attraction in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, where all the tourist stuff is. And anyways, they asked for discounts. So we give them a discount for 2 months, you know, 50% just to kind of help out. But, you know, I couldn't do that for all my clients. There ain't no way. But, you know, I don't see any harm in, you know, I'm not doing any work for them. They're not there. You know what I'm saying? So as long as I'm covering my monitoring costs and, you know, all our agents and our backups and all that stuff, you know, why not? I mean, give them a little leniency, and then they'll look back at this and hopefully see more value in you, you know? So that's kind of my thing with it. But like right. I said, I can do it for all of our clients. So luckily, you know, 99% of them are still not asked for a discount, still paying. So we're good for now. So it's just, yeah, you know, three or four. So
that's kind of my thought on it too, is you kind of hope that they're going to look back and go, yeah, you know, they helped us out during this time. So we'll stay with them. You know, like with that bed and breakfast, it's only two machines. So we just told them, hey, don't worry about it. We'll talk in a couple months, you know, on that. You know, if it was larger, we'd have to have a different discussion, but we just kept them protected. You guys keep focused on what you need to do, and we'll just keep you covered. It's not a big deal.
Yeah, exactly. And then when they do go like shopping, like Marv's saying, you know, maybe if you have something like this, right, then they'll think twice about going to the shop. So hopefully.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when you guys do your invoices, do you do just like a single line for the month, or do you itemize out, this is for RMM, this is for firewall or network services, this is for location? Do you guys itemize out stuff that way? Or like, for instance, I have customers that, you know, their 365 is a separate line item, their backup is a separate line item. Mm-hmm. But I keep all the RMM stuff. So the cost and the per station, I don't itemize that out. But I was looking at the idea of doing, here's the base fee of what you're going to pay each month, and then here's what you're paying per station. That way, you know, if the stations go up and down, that's the only part that changes. The base costs are going to stay the same. Do you guys do anything like that, or do you just do a single line item?
We do line item for, we do a per machine, per server pricing.
Hang on, Jason. I don't think you're supposed to answer. Rachel just put in there that she needs to answer that.
Well, she's the accounting. Yeah, so she's all.
I'll go while she's getting her answer.
Yeah, get her, Rachel. So either you can write it out and put it in there, or you can come on.
Stand next to Jason.
As long as you're not in the pool.
So what we do is workstations and servers are a separate price. So they're a separate line item. Backups are a separate line item. And Office 365 is a separate line item.
Okay.
So that's how we do it. And then any project work or hourly work is billed separately. So we have our main managed service invoice to go out on the first of every month. And then any work that's done that's not covered by that, we bill at that time.
Hey, look who's here. It's Rachel.
She had to come join, right?
Yeah.
I wasn't napping.
All right. So
we do it by line item is how we do it. Each workstation, we just put the total number. Then the server is a line. Because like 365 can be different and they'll go up and down. Right. So it's a different line item.
Yeah. And we also include we learned a long time ago that we don't give the customer choice in backup for servers. So our server price includes the backup, cloud backup. Of course, we use SolarWinds. Oh. We use SolarWinds VNR. So we include the server price, or the backup price, and the server price per month. So, of course, it's a much larger number. But, you know, I always like try and sell it on value. Well, this already includes your backup and stuff. And it's like, I'm not going to allow them to not have the backup that I want, because I'm supposed to, you know, fly with my cape on being Superman and save the day. So I can't do that if you want me to use some, you know, Windows backup, and hopefully it backed up, and I can't half monitor that, you know, so I'd rather have a really good backup service in order to that all of our guys are the same. And my thing's been, let's make everything the same at all the customers. So now that we have a bunch of techs, that helps out with knowing how to do that software. So we're getting rid of these oddball backup softwares and doing this because we used Shadow Protect before. We had some that were on Beam, you know, so then it's, how do I check this? And, you know, then the guys aren't sure if they're checking it properly or it's set up properly. And if you have one type of backup, you know, you're pretty much done. So, but yeah.
So are your backups, are you doing them all through, are you still with SolarWinds?
Yeah.
So, okay. So you're doing that as part of the cost. What about customers that may have a separate backup, like a Datto appliance?
So we do some Datto, depending on the customer. We don't have many Dattos out there now. We had a bunch of those little Altos that are free device, but then it's, you know, decently priced per month.
Right.
And we got rid of all those because SolarWinds B&R will do everything that does. The Alto doesn't spin up a virtual machine on top of that. So it's like kind of pointless. And with SolarWinds, I can restore back to, you know, we have spare servers in our office if I need to do that. You know, I can restore back to a Hyper-V, virtual machine. So it's not a big deal to get them up and going pretty quick. And we also, you know, do like usually Synology NAS or something on site, or the client can afford that. We'll do very minimum a USB hard drive hooked to the host machine, which is, you can't see it from the VM. So if they got crypto, you can see it. But anyways, it's in the cloud. So we'll do that speed fault to something like that on site as well to get them back up and going quick.
Yeah, we do the exact same thing. We're all SolarWinds for our backup. We prefer a Synology NAS or an external if that's all they'll do. But I like bundling that in with the price. I may do that. So one thing we started doing last year was for new clients, if they don't go with our backup, we make them sign a waiver.
Yeah.
They're responsible for it. But I think if you just bundle it in with the price, it makes it even easier than having to deal with that.
Yeah, because when we do our quotes, we use Proposify to do all of our, you know, proposals. So as we do that, it's like, you know, 5 workstations or 10 workstations and 1 server or 1 virtual server. So we charge a little bit less for a virtual server because we don't have to actually include the SolarWinds backup in there, because if you put it on the host, it'll back up all the Hyper-V, you know, instances. So it's not a big deal there. But I really like it, like doing it that way for sure. Used to, it was like a battle with customers on, it's this much for backup? Oh my gosh.
Right.
I was just like, this is covering your server. So, okay, cool. You know, so I don't know what the friction was, but it's like the extra line on the quote was like always like a battle for some reason. Do I really need this? Can't we just back up to USB drive? Oh,
yeah.
So, but yeah, for our larger clients, I do, you know, suggest like Datto device if it's like mission critical, like you want to be able to boot up and run immediately. Can't stand any downtime, but I have very few Dattos even left, so.
All right. Yeah, I've got, I do the backup as a separate line item, but I may do the mob as part of the line item. But the Datto is because I've got so many larger critical servers, those are always going to be a line item. But of course, you know, when it gets to be like $989 a month for backup, they freak. But I'm
For sure.
I'm like, you realize you've got 5 terabytes of files, and you've got a SQL server. You've got all these servers. This is for all of those servers. And it's retention for 1 year.
Exactly. Well, with the SolarWinds mob, I talked to my account rep, beat them up, and they doubled the space that we get.
Wow.
So I went from the 1 terabyte to 2 terabytes of space, and then doubled the archiving. So, but they want you to sign, you know, that you'll guarantee, you know, this number of servers for the next year. So you're kind of locking yourself in.
Oh, I heard that. Space. I heard that.
Well, they'll do all kinds of special pricing. Like if you're wanting to, you know, like my account rep says, hey, if you're getting ready to deploy a large client, you're going to have 300 new machines, contact me. They'll give you a discount. And for the next year, no problem. You have to sign that I'm going to keep this amount of clients for the next year, you know, which is a good or bad thing. So we were able to get, you know, I told him we were taking on a large client. I said, you know, we're bringing all these Dattos, these Altos back off, you know, but the thing is just the space, you know, that's not enough space. And he's like, well, let me talk to him. I'll double it. You know, if you can guarantee me 10 more servers this year, you know, pay for what you're paying for plus 10 more servers. We'll double your space. Mm. Well, of course, on, you know, managing the mob or managing online backup, BNR or whatever, it's all pulled storage. So that really helps out a lot with our other clients. So as long as our pulled storage isn't going up and down, we don't beat them up too much on just a little bit of overage. But, you know, I do have one law office that has 14 terabytes of data in NASA we're backing up. So, you know, their backup bill, we charge them extra for. But, you know, if it's 2 terabytes and they're going 2.2, I'll let it go because we have the storage. But if it goes 3 terabytes, we're charging them, you know, so.
What do you guys do for Office 365 backup? Is that a separate line item, or are you including that in Office 365? Or
mine is separate for two reasons. One, I was using the Backupify through Datto, which I'm probably, I've got two. I think I'm going to get rid of those. But I just started using the archival backup in Zix, the AppRiver thing, and that was a lot more. But it's a whole different type of backup with journaling, so that had to be a separate line item. But I think I'm going to do what a lot of people are doing, where they make their Office 365 one price, and much like Jason said with the servers, that includes the backup. So, so I'm charging the retail price for the Office 365 from AppRiver. So if I do that with their backup as well, whether it's, I don't know, $10 or $15 or whatever, that'll cover it.
Yeah, or reason Pax 8 right now, I haven't. That's on our list to do, is find a good Office 365 backup program, but we haven't been backing up our Office 365 clients as of yet. Of course, it hasn't been a problem as of yet. But yeah, I want to get, I've been trialing or looking at 3 or 4 different options to put that into our plans here in the near future, but I haven't got there as of yet. So.
So yeah, we do it as a separate line item. We have one left on Backupify. Everybody else is on DropSuite.
All right. Jason, tell Rachel to stop messing with your connection now that she's not on the porch anymore.
Turn off Netflix.
Their problem with connection.
The boys aren't outside playing anymore. They're back in. All right. Well, it's coming up to 1 o'clock here. I wanna get everybody back to working. Try to do this during lunchtime. I think I'm going to try to do this at this regular time. I think this kind of works. And rotate a few of you guys out. See if I can get Matt Rainey on here. And anybody else that wants to come in and hang out for lunch on Facebook Friday, you are welcome. I think that'll do it. Anything else before we go?
Nope.
Wow, we had a whole discussion on invoicing today. It was interesting. So I like that. So a couple of good ideas. Awesome. All right. Thank you guys. Anybody in the chat watching, both on the Facebook and the YouTube, and got a message there from John saying, Uncle Marv, you are getting good at this Facebook thing. Thank you very much. There you go. Thank you very much. All right, that's going to do it. And see you guys next week. And until then, holla.